Hey, there we are. Let me turn down that just a hair.
Good morrow, everyone. Welcome to a very rainy day on the Kind of Epic Show.
It's been raining for a week.
It's been raining for so long. And the worst part about it is that I was really hoping for like a powerful thunderstorm today. Because yeah. I love sitting out on my patio and watching thunderstorms, and it just didn't happen today.
Yeah.
It's been raining. Like, literally what woke me up this morning was the sound of rain. And usually that's what puts you back to sleep. But then, I also slept in until about 11:30 because I'm just physically weak from all the workouts and all the extra work that I've been, manually labor that I've been doing this week. But yeah, this week we're going to talk about three subjects. Subjects. First subject is, as many of you have probably seen, some people are calling it the worst trailer ever, but I think it's going to be an absolute fun ride, is the Sonic the Hedgehog trailer. And a lot of people have noticed that the Sonic the Hedgehog in the show, in the movie, looks absolutely nothing like the cartoon character on the video games, which is it's understandable because it's a cartoon character. But the biggest gripe that I've been seeing about from people is that the two biggest gripes that I've been seeing is the shape of his eyes.
Yeah, I don't like the shape of his eyes.
The shape of his eyes makes him look too human.
Hold on, we'll get to it. You said what we were going to talk about, and then you stopped after Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah. So Sonic the Hedgehog, recent episode of Game of Thrones, and then also Endgame. But Endgame's going to take up the vast majority of this episode.
Yeah, and remember to visit our Patreon for exclusive content. Last week, you guys got a little preview of what we are hoping to do more of on there, but we can't do it without your help. So visit patreon.com/kindofepicshow and become a become a patron. We have different tiers. We have a basic tier, which is $5. You get your name in the text of each episode. $10 is an audio shout out each month. Next is a $25 tier, which you can determine the conversation for our post games. Then we have our $100 tier, which is a personalized top 10 list, which we're still waiting on the hot sauces in for Kurt to do his first one.
That's going
to
be fun.
That's going to be rough.
Yeah.
And then a...
I know I'm going to bleed from my asshole.
And then a $600 tier, which you will be a producer on anything that we do with the show. So become a patron at Kind of Epic Show. Well, at patron/kindofepicshow. See, that's why I just need to record that. Like, just that. Have a script and just record that.
I mean, you could type up a script pretty easy for that.
Oh, I did last week.
Oh, you did last
week?
Yeah,
that's what I...
Oh, okay.
Because I had an introduction as to why the show was what it was.
So, David recorded the show last time on what, Friday?
Sunday.
So I was waiting to see it on see Endgame on a matinee.
You know what I did, right?
Yeah.
I just took the two post-games that we had.
I know what you did.
Yeah.
It's just that I hadn't seen Endgame yet because I wasn't about to fight a massively packed theater to see Endgame. So I went there on Monday on a matinee, 10:30 in the morning, like one of his first showings, and the place is still fucking packed.
Whoa.
And of course, I have that one customer in front of me who's like, oh, hell no. I'm paying another $4 just to see this movie in surround sound. But it's the only showing that we have that's not fully booked.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, whatever.
That's funny. All right.
Back to Sonic.
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog. The trailer dropped 2 days ago.
Yeah.
2 days ago. There are things that I like about it.
Oh, man, I can't wait for this movie. It's going to be such a train wreck.
Let's start with the good.
Jim Carrey is going to single-handedly save this movie.
Probably. Somebody, I think Nerdist said it best, somebody unlocked Jim Carrey. Because Jim Carrey's been spending years trying to do serious roles. And now we finally have Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey again.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. But honestly, one of the funniest things that I saw this morning was, as I was just talking to David about it, was apparently Sonic the Hedgehog has the same budget, 90 million USD, which was the same budget of Into the Spider-Verse, and Into the Spider-Verse is probably going to be a much superior movie. We can't say is until we see the movie, because I'm going to love this movie regardless, just like I'm going to love seeing the Dora the Explorer movie. I can't wait for both of
God
these.
God damn it, Kurt. Really?
Yeah, I can't wait for them. They look... they're the kind... Okay, to be completely honest, Me and my friend have already agreed that we're going to go to Flix Brewhouse to see Sonic the Hedgehog the first time.
I thought you two were going.
No, that's Dora.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Sonic, yeah.
So we're going to go see Sonic at Flix Brewhouse after we ingest plant substances.
Okay. Okay.
And I think it'll make it a much better movie, or it'll make it even... I want to see the movie twice in theaters. I know I'm going to see the movie twice. I'm going to see it a little baked, and I'm going to see it sober, and I'm going to see which one was more fun.
So, a fan put a slight rework into Sonic to improve his image.
Yeah, all you have to do is make his eyes not human, and make his legs non-human, like, as well. Yeah,
that the one on the right here looks so much better.
More like Sonic.
More like Sonic with a simple tweak.
Yeah.
Simple Photoshop to make his eyes bigger, and his legs skinny, and his torso small,
mm-hmm.
and more rounded.
Mm-hmm.
I would pay to see that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's just like, why? Why? Who the fuck designed Sonic for
this?
The
two biggest complaints that I've heard about Sonic's design is that the shape of his eyes are very weird in proportion to his body.
He has human teeth.
And his human teeth. The thing is if he had, like cartoon teeth where they don't really have a individual, like,
you well, can if see it was just like a bar.
A bar teeth? Yeah, yeah. That'd be fine.
Yeah, so that's fingernails.
He's got fingernails. Oh, yes, that's right. It's weird.
It's fucking weird.
And one of the best parts of the whole trailer was, I'm going to have to save your world. I'm like, oh, fuck you. The fact that he has to save our world, ugh.
Just like, that should be how Sonic looks in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Just give him big eyes, kind of a belly, mm-hmm. bigger hands, skinny last legs. Don't make him look human. It's weird.
Yeah, he just looks like an interbred science experiment gone wrong.
Right? And I do love, what they've done with Robotnik. You see him start out, like, somewhat normal, and then by the end of the trailer, he's full Robotnik.
He's full Robotnik. He's bald. He's got a massive mustache.
Which I have heard people assume that might be a post-credit scene.
Or...
Yeah.
Well, the thing is doing a post-credit scene assumes that you're going to get a sequel.
Yeah,
this
right?
movie's not going to get a sequel.
Right.
I think it's probably going to be more of a prequel episode, showing.
Okay, okay.
So the thing is that they magically get transported to their world.
Yeah.
And how they cope with this world versus the one they've already been in.
Okay, okay.
We'll see how they do the origin story.
Because there's, like, giant mushrooms behind him in the shot and everything. It looks very Sonic-y.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe he just enters a portal or something.
How great would that be if at the end of it, Sonic looks normal? They're like, oh, he just looked like that because he was in our world.
That'd be a...
A way to fix it without changing the entire
movie. It would be a way to fix it without changing the entire movie. Yeah, we'll see. But next... So I think we've pretty much beaten this hedgehog
to
death.
No.
You still want
to
keep talking about it?
Yeah. Why the fuck was it set to Gangster's Paradise?
Oh, beautiful.
Why the fuck was it set to Gangster's Paradise?
Gangster's Paradise was the only way it could be set, in my opinion.
Why?
Well, if
it's
you know...
the same loop of that song over and over and over.
The thing is if you know anything about Sonic lore from... Because I played a lot of Sonic games as a kid. Is he's really into hip-hop and rap.
I know. I'm aware.
So,
I've seen Sonic Underground.
This is his... This would be like his modern hearkening, like if music that he wanted to play would be playing. I think Gangster's Paradise would be true. True to the character, not true to the fucking disaster that this movie's going
to
be.
We're about to get, hopefully get into the pre-screening tonight, a live-action video game movie for Detective
Pikachu. Do you
think
Tupac's rolling in his grave because of this?
Who knows?
I bet you he is.
So,
if he's not dead.
Detective Pikachu, I'm going to have a pre-screening of it tonight.
It looks fun.
They look fantastic.
But
those
you can't
Pokemon
always trust
awesome.
Everything in the trailer.
No, but those Pokemon look great. Some of them do look scary, and I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense that they would be kind of terrifying. But also, when it comes to the music, the trailers had a tweaked version of the cartoon theme song.
Yeah.
And it sounded great. It was like a piano, like, version of it that was just gorgeous in that first trailer. Just subtle. Very subtle throughout that trailer. why didn't Sonic go with the nostalgia?
So you're saying that you would much rather hear Green Hill Zone in the background than Gangster's Paradise?
Or some modern version of Green Hill Zone, yeah. Hit me with the nostalgia, not the creep factor.
I would have much rather liked Live and Learn. Just keep on moving ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sonic Adventure 2 is probably my favorite Sonic
game. I think so, too.
It's a great... Also, second runner-up is Shadow the Hedgehog.
I never played Shadow.
Both of them are just fucking horrible as an adult, but they're so good at...
I loved Adventure 2. All right, yeah. I think that pretty much nails it for Sonic.
GOT.
Yeah.
Super disappointed with the ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
They build up a character. Okay, first off, spoilers. Now we're going into spoiler territory.
Yeah, spoilers.
All the rest of that you can see online.
The rest of the episode, spoilers about Game of Thrones and Endgame.
Yep.
Starks did die.
Fuck you.
This weekend, Starks did die.
Yeah, there was a Stark that died, but not the one you would think. Or the one I was hoping for. I was really hoping for Arya to bite the dust right there. He had her, literally had her within a chokehold.
Yeah.
All he had to do was shift his thumb in a certain way and she'd been gone.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that.
I just wanted someone to die.
I wanted more people to die.
That's the biggest problem with the episode.
They had three people die.
Yeah.
They had Jorah. They had the lady, the
Melisandre,
who came out of fucking nowhere. Literally, Melisandre's act in this episode was, where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? it makes no fucking sense where she came from and what.
We knew that she was coming back.
We knew she was coming back, but the thing is there was no like shots of her coming back. She just literally appears at the front gates and is like, hey, how's it going? I'm here.
Yeah. Well,
we have Jorah, the guy who was resurrected hundreds of times.
Yeah, Beric.
Beric.
Melisandre, Edmund, from the Night's Watch.
What's his face? Reek.
Yep. Theon.
Theon's dead. Lady Mormont, yeah.
But she went out like a badass.
She went out like a badass and then subsequently became a white for a hot second.
Which I think that was a missed opportunity. Only two named characters became whites.
Yeah.
So that's a missed opportunity.
There's so many missed opportunities with the White Walkers. Thing is they build up the White Walkers for such a long time, for 8 seasons.
Yeah. Well, since episode one.
Yeah, since episode
the
one.
The first shot of the show is with like people getting slaughtered by whites.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you get just literally the way that I described it, and you're still angry at me for saying this, is a Monty Python.
I don't get the Monty Python bit.
The way that she killed the Night King is in a Monty Python like hold up a second kind of a thing. Is like she's caught in midair, the dagger's dropped from one hand to the other, and then she just stabs. It just seems like something so bizarre and out there that it would make sense in Monty Python, but it wouldn't make sense in real world. Like seeing somebody walking down the street doing the silly
work. I don't mind the way it was done. I think it was
dumb. I think they... I think... I like the idea that they did with how they had the dagger that he killed the first... That the Night King killed the first three-eyed raven with was also his downfall. That's cool.
Yeah.
But, man.
So, the way I see it, the episode did a great job of making you forget where Arya was.
Yeah.
She disappears for a good minute while a lot of other shit's going on and you forget. So it actually, I feel like it made for a great surprise.
Oh yeah, it did. But I thought that surprise was going to be her neck getting snapped.
But she also had no involvement with the North in the story of the Night King or anything.
Yeah.
Her story is, she shouldn't have been the one to complete that arc.
Yeah.
And I would have been a bit more accepting of it if John would have had more to do, because John didn't have anything to do either. He was stuck by the dragon. How sweet would that have been if, like, John had defeated the dragon?
And
like,
just came in and just plunged a sword in.
Well, if John had killed the dragon and then was able to confront the Night King and say it was John that was being held, and Arya then gets him in the back.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have given John something to do instead of just fucking being there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a bunch of stuff where, like, actual, like, tacticians have talked about the Battle of Winterfell and how dumb it was.
Oh, yeah. Like, cavalry is not... Okay. That being said, there is a... This is a very cinematically beautiful episode.
What you can see.
That whole idea of the fire, the wall of fire moving towards a wall of black, that was cinematically a great idea. But the thing is, for tacticians, a lot of people know that in not modern warfare, if you had cavalry or if you had charioteers, you have charioteers not in the front of the lines. You have soldiers in the front of the lines. You use charioteers and horses on the flanks to literally move from a front line into a all-encompassing circle around your enemy. That's how you use horses. You don't just charge horses head on.
Yeah.
Apply it directly to the forehead. Did you get that joke? Some people, somebody somewhere got that joke. Head on, apply it directly to the forehead.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So yeah, I really didn't like that aspect of it. I thought it was, it definitely was a good way to set the tone for the episode where you have a whole line of people just decimated.
That you couldn't see.
It was a really dark episode. But my biggest gripes are I hated the ending. I hated that there wasn't enough people dead. And
yeah, you set these big stakes, and legitimately...
There was no stakes at the end. It's the fucking Mass Effect 3 ending all over again.
Well, I was thinking, okay, so you set the tone. So do you remember the end of Serenity when they killed Wash?
Yes, I do.
And they are then like, oh shit, every one of these people might are die. About to die. And then they get saved.
Mm-hmm. At the last minute.
At the last minute. I feel like Game of Thrones pulled that same thing where we got a death and then you're like, oh fuck, everyone's fucked. Mm-hmm. Everyone's fucked. The entire army of the dead is coming back. Everyone's fucked.
Another thing is the whole sequence with the fucking catacombs. Nobody died in the catacombs. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, no, named characters died in the catacombs, which would have been a great moment. Which would have been a great moment if Sansa easy. Or Tyrion would have went out as a hero.
And that's the thing. I thought when they had that little moment where they were holding hands, I thought they were about to do a suicide pact.
Yeah.
I thought they were about to kill themselves.
So you had them down there defending people. You had, it was Brienne, Jaime, and Pod all together defending the swarm. And that's what it was. The undead was a swarm.
Yeah, they somehow survived a swarm.
Yeah. Same with fucking Sam. Sam was just sitting down for half the episode.
And the fact that the fucking hound didn't bite the dust when he was literally just like having a Vietnam moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're dealing with a fucking swarm, the first person to have a Vietnam moment is going to die.
He still has stuff to do. He has to take down a mountain.
He does.
The hound had plot armor.
He did.
Out of anybody, the hound had plot armor. More so than anyone else there.
True.
The hound's story is not finished. Everyone else's should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have like Tormund and a couple others that are just like...
How the fuck did Grey Worm not die?
Right!
He was literally on the front line. He should be the first fucker to die.
Right? No one fucking died. Why?
The reason why is because they want Game of Thrones for people who are invested into the show and not really into the lore, like a lot of people like us who are really invested into the lore.
Yeah.
It was the
opposite of the Red Wedding.
It's the opposite of the Red Wedding. It's the opposite of lore building. It's the we want to have a Disney ending.
It was all fan service.
It's not about doom and gloom anymore. Because the thing
it's very anti George R.R. Martin.
It is. It's very anti George R.R. Martin.
He's always told us, even our main characters, and the thing aren't is safe.
If they kill off a lot of people in the battle for King's Landing, that's dumb.
Yeah,
they could have done it so much more nobly.
Yeah,
in the Battle of Winterfell,
for sure.
But no, they're probably gonna have some people die in the battle to take over to Cersei.
The next episode is directed by David Nutter, who is a longtime Game of Thrones director. He's directed like the pilot, but he also, I believe, directed the first two of this season. Mm-hmm. So the next one's going to have a lot of dialogue, a lot of setup. And then episode 5 is directed by the same guy who just did this one.
So it's a battle. Yeah. So we know it's a battle.
So we know it's a battle. He also did Battle of Blackwater, Battle of Bastards. He did Hard Home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a big action-heavy episode.
And then the last episode's going to be all about
resolution. Like,
tying
probably
bows and stuff.
Yeah.
Dotting I's, crossing T's.
Yeah.
Yeah. But needless to say, I am extremely disappointed in where Game of Thrones is now. I was really hoping for a lot more death. Not needless to say, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, cool, Arya killed them. And then about 5 minutes later, it hit me. It's like, that's fucking stupid.
Well, and they did such a great job of wrapping up all of these characters' storylines in the first two episodes.
Yes. And we thought we were going to get a lot of death.
And because they earned them. They earned their death.
Mm-hmm.
They wrapped up the storylines nicely. All these stories came to a conclusion mm-hmm. in those first two episodes. Mm-hmm. Only for them to meet their ultimate end at the Battle of Winterfell. And hell, fucking Davos lived. I like Davos, but why not kill him?
Mm-hmm. I've pretty much beat this horse to death, so
yeah.
I've said my opinion on the episode.
The only person that had a good death was Theon. And we knew going in that Theon's fucking dead. He signed up to die.
Oh yeah, he signed up to die. He knew he was going to die. Okay. So... Endgame.
Yeah.
I specifically pooped, peed, and ate food that would constipate me to get through this movie.
Nice, nice. Nicely done. I got to the theater about a half hour early. I peed when I got there. Then I went out during the trailers and peed again. Like, purposely.
I purposely dehydrated myself that day
mm-hmm.
so that I wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, I had gotten, like, nachos, like, and a drink mm-hmm. that I ate before the movie. And because I hadn't really eaten, I needed to eat something. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to go pee again. Like, I made sure to eat everything and pee again before the movie started.
Mm-hmm. So this movie is 3 hours some change, or it's almost 3 hours. It's
3 hours and 2 minutes.
I
just want to give my quick review, which is the movie was extremely satisfying.
The movie is exactly what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
It was a superhero movie that did superhero things. There were epic moments. There wasn't really anything that I didn't dislike or truly liked. It was a good conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a culmination of the 21 films that came before it.
The only gripe that I have with this movie is, and these are what a lot of people are saying for the reviews-wise, is the best time to go piss during the movie. Is when they're not looking for Infinity Stones, but they're looking for meaning post everyone snapping. The arguments that I've been seeing is a lot of people thought that the search for Ant-Man's family was a little drawn out. The search for Ronan was a little drawn out. Those two were really drawn out, and Professor Hulk kind of just happened. That's the problem a lot of people had, that there wasn't really any showing of transformation of Hulk and Professor to become one. It's just kind of, oh, we're at a diner with Professor Hulk.
Well, the time passing is pretty significant.
It's pretty significant, but, I mean, they should have shown at least, like, a little clip of him in the lab actually doing this, in my opinion.
I don't think we needed that. I think that would have just made the movie longer.
Also, you notice, did you notice that Professor Hulk isn't as nearly as busty as Hulk?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's not as big.
Yeah. Which has always been a thing in the comics, too. Professor Hulk was never as big
as Hulk.
Which, his size determines also on how angry he is. So, maybe if Professor Hulk got mad, he would also grow in size. But
possibly.
We never really saw that.
Also, the biggest thing that I had a problem with, and I haven't seen it for a second time yet, so mm-hmm. I'm waiting to see it for my second time.
Yeah.
The time travel mechanics in this movie are very hard to understand.
Why? Give me this.
That's not a pen. That's a chopstick. Yeah. The thing is it. The whole idea is that they're. Oh no, this isn't a Back to the Future where you make alternate timelines. The thing is, though, the fact that
You make alternate timelines. You don't change your past.
You don't change your past, but you make alternate timelines. Yeah. And those alternate timelines are fucked because I mean, you see Thor steal his own hammer.
Yeah.
And that timeline is now fucked
because he doesn't have Steve took it back.
That's right. Did he take back the hammer?
Yeah.
Okay. Weird. Okay, maybe that just does everything that I...
So that
makes sense. The whole idea is that he went back in time and set everything right, so it wouldn't make timelines divulge. Possibly.
Theoretically.
Except for Loki. Where the fuck's Loki?
Exactly. Which, that just sets up his Disney Plus series.
Mm-hmm.
So, good on them. One complaint that you could have about that is the fact that how was old Steve there? Because if he went back to the past, he would have been living in, through an alternate timeline.
True.
But the argument around that is he still had his thing.
Yeah.
So when he probably was able to just go back, like he picked a point in the timeline to mm-hmm. just go back to show back up.
Now,
to.
Another thing that I have a gripe about that is the old Steve.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the year that Avengers Endgame takes place in is what year?
2022 or 2023.
2022, 2023. So I'm going to pull out my calculator for this.
Okay.
So it's 2023 minus 1945.
I wouldn't say that. We don't know what year he goes. So
that's 78 years between the end of World War II
okay.
to now.
Okay.
Which would then, if he was, say, as Captain America in his, let's give him a young age. Say he's 25, plus 25. He'd be 103. He looks really good for a 103-year-old.
He does have the super soldier serum. He is the standard of what the human body potential could be.
Yes, so. But at the same time...
And we don't know. Taking the stones back,
mm-hmm.
there's a good possibility that Steve stayed with her in the 70s when he took the stones back.
Instead of the 50s. Well, the thing is that flashback we see was in the 40s. Oh, was it?
Okay.
Because those cars were 40s and 50s models.
True. Fair enough.
But I will say I liked some character resolutions, like Tony getting in touch with his father in the 70s.
Yeah.
Ronan and Black Widow making the resolution, talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Black Widow biting the bullet for him. I'm kind of glad she's dead.
Yeah, it just makes me have questions about what they're doing with her movie.
It's a prequel. We already know it's a prequel.
They haven't confirmed that.
It's going to be a prequel. $20 right now says it's going to be a prequel.
Yeah, probably.
My
hope is that like it's a prequel that has her training her protege because she in the comics there is a second Black Widow, so
we'll see.
Be a way to pass the torch.
I really didn't care for the Ant-Man sequence. That whole I just came back. I've been gone for 5 years. What's going on? Where is everybody? Oh, my daughter's 5 years older.
I liked it. I
thought it was a little. The thing is there is about a 5-minute scene that doesn't need to be in the movie, and that is why? Literally him walking with the wagon, getting back to
because,
his house.
No, it does have to be there because as a viewer, they're showing us what has happened to the world. It's a element of storytelling. They're giving us details of what the world has been like.
But we've already had that established for the last 20 minutes with the AA meeting of people leaving.
But also when your Ant-Man is essential to the plot of this movie.
Oh, he's super essential.
So you have to give him those moments.
Another thing that I really liked in this movie was the inclusion of the Ancient One.
Yeah, that was nice. I'm glad she came back. Hell, I think one of my favorite moments...
Because the thing is everybody's like, well, where the fuck is Doctor Strange and the Ancient One in the Battle of the Avengers? And you see her. She's fighting the Chitauri.
Yeah. She was defending the Sanctum.
Yeah, so she was working. It's just... And the thing... But the one thing that I don't understand is why she already knew where Stephen Strange was and she already knew the future. I mean, she's got the time stone, so she can see the future.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, oh, he's still operating at XX Memorial Hospital.
Yeah.
And he will be for another 5 years.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
It's just kind of... Because she could only see to the point of her death, so of course she would already know all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. Speaking of the Battle of New York, I loved that we got to see what happened after the Battle of New York.
Yeah.
Before they went to get shawarma.
Yeah.
And they're like, I think we're about to go eat. can we move this along?
Yeah. So they're all just like, yo. Oh, dude, the whole Hail Hydra thing was so funny.
So well done. So they set it up. There's an elevator scene that they set up like the elevator scene in The Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought that Steve was going to be... I thought we were going to get the line of, you know, anyone want to get off before this gets started?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's such a great line from The Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And I like, they're even matching shots of, like, the one guy going for the gun.
Yep.
And Rumlow and everybody else that was there. And they subverted it by, okay, he knows they're Hydra.
Yeah, he knows that they're Hydra. And he looks around and he's like... I've lived this once.
Yeah.
So the way he sits shadows is like, no, guys, I got this. I got this. Trust me.
Yeah.
And then he looks at the Secretary of Defense and he's just like, Hail Hydra.
Yeah.
And then they're all like, oh, he's on board.
Yeah.
And they just let him go into the
merry Yeah, for sure. And it was just a nice little touch to see, okay, these characters were around at the time of the first Avengers, even though they weren't quite established. It's nice making them involved, mm-hmm. especially when they go downstairs and Secretary Pierce is there as well from The Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And just these characters that have, okay, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. This makes sense. And they gave us America's ass as well.
So, that was really funny.
That is America's ass.
Mm-hmm. Which some people were talking about how that America's ass was the first time of Captain not being like language. And he's like, yeah, it is America's ass.
Yeah.
It's the first time accepting like, yeah, I can curse.
Yeah. And they've been the shit they've been through. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. I can curse a little bit.
Well, he also cursed at the end of Age of Ultron because they say the language bit at the beginning when Tony curses, he's like language. And then he says shit or something at the end of Age of Ultron and Tony gets him back.
Yeah, exactly. Language.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, really liked this fight sequence against Thanos where it was double Mjolnir / Stormbreaker Thor. Also, the other fact that Thor has a dad bod in this.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody now can have a body like Thor.
Right. Right. And actually, one thing
which is weird because the thing is Chris Hemsworth has done this specifically that he's been releasing a lot of workout videos to show how in shape he is before this movie comes out, just to show the prosthetics that had to go into him making him look fat when he is actually probably one of the fittest persons in the world.
Right. One thing I think they did really well is how they handled Thor's mental illness.
Oh, with his
depression
not being able to say goodbye to his mother.
Well, and failing to save everybody.
Yeah.
They handled that so well.
Failure is the best teacher.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's depressed. He has depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did a good job of showing that. I have also seen some criticism in it, but at least they acknowledged it.
I didn't notice that his new eye was orange until now.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first thing that I saw when I first saw his eye on screen is like, that color of the eye is very close to shit. And that's where it came from.
Yeah. It is weird. Like, if you think of the moments that they went back in time to, like the Battle of New York and some of the stuff out of the first Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really surprised they chose the Dark World. Like, Thor the Dark World. Because it is one of the least well-received Marvel movies.
And the weird thing... The thing is Natalie Portman didn't want anything more to do with the Marvel movies, but she showed up in this movie with no line.
Yeah.
No line.
Yeah.
She just showed up.
She went to the premiere.
Yeah, she went to the premiere, but why did she okay this movie? She didn't want to be a part of it.
I think she still had a third movie in her contract with Marvel.
Ah.
And they may have gotten around it by using old footage that they were able to just include Rocket in. That's why we never actually see her on screen with Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
Makes sense. They probably just had
Rocket edited in.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's my guess. I did like some of the scenes.
I loved Thor in this movie.
Me too.
He's literally, Tony calls him Lebowski. He literally is Lebowski in this movie.
Yeah.
He's self-defeated. He's a drunk. He's a wash-up.
Playing Fortnite. I did like Korg.
Korg was great.
It's neat. Like, apparently the final battle
is only like it's. I felt like the final battle was really short.
It's like the last 45 minutes.
No, dude, the final battle
No,
the final battle is like 20 minutes, and then the resolution afterwards is 40 minutes.
No, not at all. No, from the time that they undo the snap to I am Iron Man is like 45 minutes.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be longer. They cut out 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, apparently there's a section in the middle where they were in like a trench and it just slowed everything down mm-hmm. to like a halt. Like they're like planning their tactic on this is how we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do. And apparently they just cut it.
Mm-hmm.
They did explain why we don't see the Netflix heroes or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
How?
Not in the movie. The writers were just like, well, we don't know where those characters are at this point in the timeline. Because if we...
So we could have seen them in the battle.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things. It's like...
I wouldn't want to have seen those heroes in the movie, though.
Yeah. It would have been a nice touch because we did get our first TV
like if
character.
If we got to see them in a news clipping or something like that, yeah, that would have been fine. But actually, the final battle, maybe not so much.
Do you know who's in the final battle? With the Revengers? Or not with the Revengers, with the Ravengers? Did you hear who's in the final battle?
I didn't see the Ravagers.
Yeah, they show up.
Really?
Yeah, they're right behind like the Wasp when she shows up.
Huh.
So you see like Sean Gunn and a couple of the other Ravagers.
I don't recall that.
Howard the Duck is in the final battle with a couple blasters.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Because the Wasp has everybody's attention and they're behind her. The Wasp is the focus of it.
Do you think Howard the Duck's going to get another movie?
I hope he's in Guardians.
I hope he's in Guardians as well.
He's been in all of them so far.
But I hope he doesn't get another movie. Because have you seen the Howard the Duck movie?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's getting a cartoon on Hulu.
Like cartoon? Or...
Yeah, cartoon. Cartoon okay. series. They're doing a bunch of cartoons on Marvel cartoons on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
They're more of the adult-oriented cartoons. So they're keeping them off of Disney Plus, but having them on Hulu.
So that they can show duck tits again?
I hope not. Hope not. But yeah, the final battle had so many. Well, right before the final battle, we have that moment with getting the Soul Stone and dealing with the loss of
Black Widow.
Black Widow,
and you can't undo that.
Yeah.
And I know. I think I texted you right after I got out of the theaters. Like, why isn't the Vision in this movie?
That's a good question. My guess is because the only person that could have fixed him had been dusted.
But then he would have come back.
He wasn't dusted. Sure, he was dusted.
That's right.
The Vision's lifeless body is sitting there in Wakanda at the end of that movie because the stone gets pulled out of his mm-hmm. head. But they do confirm that like in Infinity War, the stone is basically just a power source.
So the Vision could be resurrected.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we have on Disney Plus, we're getting Scarlet Witch and Vision. That show's coming. So, there you go.
Also, why didn't Quicksilver show up again?
Yeah, they. Good question. Good question.
They could have brought him back for the final battle.
They could. They could have.
His sequence would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been. But I mean, he was also like bullet ridden. So they just brought back people that died
that
in the snap.
Got dusted.
Yeah. Besides Gamora, who they pulled back from time.
From time.
Which, if you use that aspect, technically, couldn't you have pulled Quicksilver out of time right before he got shot?
You could have.
And
I bet you they're going to do that in the Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Maybe. And especially now that they have the rights to the mutants back. And the X-Men movies are... Because the reason they killed him is because Fox's use of...
Quicksilver.
Mm-hmm. Because he's been in all the recent X-Men movies.
Even though now... Did you hear that? Is New Mutants dead?
I don't think so, but it's got pushed back again.
I think it's dead.
So it's probably just going to come out on Disney Plus, is my guess.
Mm.
They're not going to not release it. It'll just be non-theatrical.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wanting that franchise to hit the reset button as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that final battle was so intense. I think I cried a lot because I'm a softie and these movies mean the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, I knew Tony was going to bite the dust.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, they didn't really hide it.
It almost took down the fucking Hulk.
Yeah, and it's always kind of been there. Like, it was never outside of my mind, but it was more like, okay, which ones are going to
mm-hmm. be permanent death?
Yeah, and during it, like, it got so intense and so bleak there for a while. It's like, especially when Thanos is, like, shoving Stormbreaker into the Thor's armor.
Mm-hmm.
And he had already knocked out Iron Man and Captain America. And we see a shot of Mjolnir. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it comes flying. And it goes past Thor and back to Steve. That's the greatest fucking moment I think I've ever witnessed with my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was weeping tears of joy.
And also, we finally got our Avengers assembled.
We did. And that was another one where I think the way that they did it was great. Where you have Cap, and he's on the verge of being fucking killed. His shield has been torn apart. His arms all slashed.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost hope, but still picks himself back up because it's who he is. He can do it all day. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you hear some talking, and you can make out that it's Sam. And then just all of a sudden on your left, I was just like, oh shit. Just like, because, I mean, it's such a wonderful callback again to the Winter Soldier when Steve is just laughing him. Mm-hmm. On your left.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, here comes Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, here's all the Sorcerer Supremes opening up the sling rings.
Mm-hmm. And then we also get, at the end of the movie, we also get Falcon taking up the mantle of Captain America.
Yeah, and that's an interesting part, because we were talking about the time travel aspect of it earlier, and Steve asks Sam how it feels, and he's like,
it feels
like someone else's. And Steve's reply is, it isn't. Steve's shield was destroyed. Steve didn't have a shield.
Mm-hmm.
So, what if, in Steve's new timeline, what if he already knew to give it to him? Because he was giving it. He was given, Steve Rogers was given the shield by Sam to give to Sam.
Hmm. Good theory.
Yeah. And you know, one of the shows that is coming to Disney Plus is
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I think will be the Falcon coming up to the mantle. I don't think we'll see him as Captain America until the end of that series, just because the weight of the shield is large.
Yeah.
But
he's gonna have to do a lot of PSAs for high school.
Yeah.
So you got detention.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy might be a war criminal now, but we're still required to show this. Best, I like Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
But we're also getting What If, which it's going to be an animated series of one-off cartoons. They've already confirmed that the first one is Sharon Carter Super Soldier. The second one.
So Sharon Carter taking up.
Yeah. The second one is Steve Rogers. Iron Man.
Hmm.
But how neat would it be if they use these? Because they said all of these shows are going to be important parts of the MCU, including What If. And they already said, like, the cast is coming back to do voices.
But these are animated, right?
But these are animated.
Okay.
What if Chris Evans comes back and it's his Captain America returning the stones to these alternate timelines? How cool would that be?
That'd be pretty cool.
And that would be a way to show that gap in story that's there.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be really interesting way to do it. One complaint that I have seen that is awfully convenient for the Spider-Man franchise is the fact that all of Peter's friends were dusted. Everybody in Peter's class was dusted. How convenient is that? Storytelling-wise.
It's a little too convenient.
Yeah. Now, especially since we already know that, because we have the Far From Home trailers. Mm-hmm. That could be why there are new people in the class, because there's new classmates. But tell me, his best friend, his love interest, and his bully all got dusted.
A little convenient.
Sup, dickhead?
Another thing that I'm going to be interested to see in Far From Home is that there's no longer the mentor. The mentor's gone. So Spider-Man is Spider-Man without a mentor. I'm curious to see if Gwyneth Paltrow actually tries to step in as the mentor.
No, she said that she's done.
She's done?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably going to be Nick Fury because he shows up.
Yeah. One thing, well, and we know Happy's in it again. One thing that I thought would be neat for Far From Home is if Peter's new AI is Tony.
Oh.
No, it's been done in the comics. Ugh. So Tony died in the comics and, well, died. And the Ironheart, who took over after him, Riri Williams, he was her AI and had the full holographic capability and everything to come out and just talk to her.
Was he still a smartass?
Yeah, yeah. It was still it was like Tony's imprint.
Into an AI.
Into an AI. Hmm. And I think that would be really neat.
It would be.
And a way to keep Robert Downey Jr. around.
But he's so expensive now.
But it would be like a day's worth of work. You get him to go on the green screen for a day.
Yeah.
And just have some, like, go over some lines and...
That's about it.
Sit in a booth to record, like, the HUD.
Yeah.
Voice, but a couple scenes of him on, like... That's it.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be too expensive. True. And he would probably be willing to do it because he loves playing the character.
Yeah.
So... You know, yeah.
But yeah, I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover about Endgame. It was good.
Yeah, there's not a lot to complain about. Yeah. It's extremely satisfactory.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely more satisfactory than the Game of Thrones ending.
Yeah. Well, that's not even an ending. We've got 3 more weeks of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, how? Before, I was like, how are they going to finish this up in now 6 just episodes? Like, oh, okay. Now how are they going to stretch it to three episodes? Oh, I'm sure there's more that we could talk about, but we do have a funny topic for our post game.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah. So, stick around if you're a Patreon listener.
Yeah. Well, you have to go to our Patreon to listen to it.
So yes.
Go to our Patreon. You get access to it for just hitting the $5 tier. But yeah, go listen to it. We're gonna talk about the most awkward situations to have been snapped in and re-snapped in.
Yep.
So, because we don't know how it's done. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and hit the space bar and
I'm stop Chris this. Center.
I'm David West.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Have a good one. Talk to you Patreon subscribers here in a minute.